And again, I'm preaching out of the scriptures that are recommended by the Revised Common Lectionary. So there are thousands of people in churches all around the world reading and speaking out of these passages this morning. And so we're going to take some time and look in Genesis chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1, and the scriptures will be up behind me on the PowerPoint if you need. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And in good Jeremy Dorton fashion, we're just going to stop there. We're going to pick it apart, and then we'll move on to verse 2 later. Okay? Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram. The Lord said. The Lord spoke to Abram. And when I heard that verse, I thought, okay, kind of a funny question, but does God still speak to us today? Not a single nod in the church. Oh, good. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, okay. Does God still speak to us today? Yes, he does. Are you hearing the voice of God? How do you hear God speak to you? These are questions we need to ask ourselves all the time. Are we putting enough into our spiritual lives? Are we focusing on God enough to actually hear from him? And as the title of this message bears, is there enough room in your schedule for the King of the universe? That's a question I have to wrestle with all of the time. How many of you know that there should have been probably 28 hours in a day? 24 it just slides by so fast. We were here for 14 hours at the church yesterday preparing for the mission trip, and time just flew by. It was incredible. Abram heard from the Lord, and the Lord says this. He says, "Leave your kindred and the house of your father." And when I read that verse, I actually became quite confused, because I know that God works so powerfully through relationships. He works so powerfully. He's the author of relationship and connections. And he puts people together for a purpose. And now he's kind of trying to rip Abram out of this situation. I didn't understand why. And in the last couple weeks, I just finished reading a book that someone in the church gave me called The Shack, okay? How many of you have read The Shack? Yeah? Was it an amazing book or what? Absolutely. You've read it too, Kate? A couple of others. We went and bought 16 books after we read it so that we can give those 16 away. And I encourage you, buy the book. Just trust me. If you want to order, we can get it through the church for like, what was it, $12? $12, okay? It's called The Shack. And this book does such a powerful job of explaining the relationship. It's a novel. It's kind of a fictional parable novel. And it talks about the relationship of God the Father with how he's in communion and in love with his son, Jesus. And Jesus is hanging out with God's Holy Spirit and the relationship. So we know that God is functioning in relationships so often. And so now all of a sudden he comes along and he wants to pull Abram out of this. And I was wondering why. Had Abram sinned? Was Abram's relationships turning stale? Or maybe God just wanted to take a new direction in this guy's life. And maybe God wanted to set up new bonds and connections for him. And maybe God had big plans for his life. But why did Abram go? I think the reason is that God laid out a vision and a plan for his life, and there was promise associated with it, and it was worth taking a risk for. Because he heard God speak. Have you ever thought of whether God has a plan for your life? Does God have a plan for our lives? See, I believe that God is calling us all to himself, all of us. Okay, whether you have been a believer all your life or whether you're just coming to him, whether you had fallen away for a time and you're coming back, whether you don't have any dirt on your hands to speak of, or whether you've been through a couple of divorces or something like this, whether you still struggle with swearing. I know some people do when you hit your thumb. Okay, all right. Whether it's smoking, whatever it is, God is drawing you to himself regardless of where you are at. And see, God has a plan for your life, and he also has a plan for this church. And you know what? I believe that the Lord is speaking very clearly in recent weeks that a big part of the plan of God for FBC Prince Albert is that he would unite us and bring us together around a common purpose, not for the sake of a building, not for the sake of this land or anything, but for the sake of bringing us together so that through our relationships we can advance the kingdom of God. However he calls us to do it. And I think he's deepening our friendships and our relationships with one another for that purpose. And I could list a number of you today, some of you who are smiling, Okay, don't look at me, Pastor Chair. People who are already reaching out and having open friendships and communion in people's backyards and stuff for the sake of getting to know one another for the glory of Jesus Christ. See, God has big plans for your personal life. God has passed down the gospel through the ages, right from Abram to you, and somehow he entrusted you with the gospel. I still think that's incredible. God is in the business of blessing his creation. Chapter 12, verse 2, God says this to Abraham. He says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. I can't get away from this theme, folks, of blessing one another and being a blessing in the world. And I have to ask you a question because I've been harping on this theme every time I get up here. But here's the bottom line question. When I ask this, listen to your heart and see what it says. Do you want to be a blessing in your community? There's two answers. Yes, or no thanks, maybe later. Do you, in fact, desire that God uses you to be a blessing in your community? It's a very important question. I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, I had made mention of this fellow, Tony, who was supposed to come to lunch. He never made it, okay? But I also had made mention of that fellow. He kind of has a protruding lip, and his hands would hang a little low, and he'd wiggle and jiggle. You know who I mean? Yeah? And remember I challenged you to go out and find out his name? I found out his name last week in the newspaper obituary. His name was Paul Hunt. And this is what the obituary reads. It says, thank you to all of the people were so kind to Paul. Your generosity always put a smile on his face. Thank you to all the businesses that Paul frequented every day for their hospitality. He will be missed by his care home and his family and his friends. Did you miss your opportunity with Paul? Well, folks, I submit to you this day that there are 1,000 other Pauls who are coming into our contact every day. 8 of us happen to be hopping on a plane to meet as many Pauls of this world that we can. And we want to tell them the good news. And when we get back, we want to keep it going. We want to do it here. And we want to partner with you to do it here. There are Paul Hunts in your life, and you know who they are. And you know who you have to reach out to. Chapter 12, verse 4 says this. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Well, they weren't so young. I have to stick in one of the Reverend Fun cartoons. It's one of my traditions. You find a cartoon there, Joe? There we go. Abram and I are not interested in a condo community. We need a place that would be nice for raising kids. Okay? It's a little later on in the story as they get pregnant very old in life. Okay, but they were not too young. 75 years of age, and God is just coming into their life. Okay, this is like, bring this to your own life. Okay, God might just intrude in your plans at some point and say, it's time to go over here. The scriptures say, so Abram hummed and hawed at the thought of moving his family. No, it says, so Abram went. That's it. No questions. See, I wish it were this easy. I wish this whole obedience thing were that easy. I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes in the obedience factor. It's sort of like I was hinting there, that it's completely wrong, it's blasphemous to say, but it's sort of like I've got my plans and God somehow intrudes in my plans. And he says, Jerry, you need to go and do such and such. You need to give this guy a call. I'm like, but Lord, now? You ever, am I the only one? I'm the only heathen in the house. All right. Okay. And sometimes the Lord interjects and he has a plan for us, and sometimes it's hard to follow. See, God is not necessarily calling us to pack our bags and move to Haran, okay? God is calling all of us, however, to make a difference right here where we are at. He's calling us to take a stand and do it for the sake of winning even one friend to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so important. He is still in the business of meeting people in the strangest of places. Just like Jonah in the whale. If only he had been obedient. Here we go. Here's another cartoon. Jonah is sitting in the whale reading The Idiot's Guide to Following God's Will. And sometimes it feels like we just need to have that little guide. But even so, we have the guide. It's the Word of God. And yet, we sometimes wrestle, don't we? Does anyone else struggle in this area, sometimes being obedient? Anyone? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Good. Thank you. We met our quota. Genesis chapter 12, verse 5. 5b, when they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. See, when you step out in faith, and when you become a blessing to others, he will bless you. In fact, I know that when I submit my life to God and I bless others, I get so blessed, my cup overflows. And I just get so charged and have so much energy because of the blessing of God. And this is why Abram set up an altar there, because God had blessed him and he wanted to remind other people of the great things that God had done. So are we supposed to set up altars in our lives today? I say absolutely. We remember God. We tell the story of God to others. We tell the story of God to our children and to our grandchildren. And by so doing, we set up a reminder, an altar of what God has done in our lives. In verse 8, from there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord, and Abram journeyed on by stages towards the Negev. See, Abram literally made a difference in that place. I don't know if you knew this, but those two places, Shechem and Ai, were both pagan sites of worship. And so what does he do? He goes right into that place and he builds an altar, a reminder of the King of the universe that he is, and that he is everything. And he set up an altar in both of these pagan sites of worship. See, folks, there ought to be a visible presence of Christ, a reminder of Christ within you. I've often marveled at how sometimes you can meet somebody who has nothing to do with Christ or the church, and yet they're so wonderful. They're so inviting. I know a couple of your family members, some of you have family members who don't come here to church, and they're awesome men and women, but they don't yet know Christ. And why is that? I think they're predisposed. I think God has already hardwired them for something far greater than they've ever known. Amazing. God knows where your life should be and where you should be in your life. I ask you some key questions. What do you feel God is promising for your future? Have you ever thought about that? What are you promising God? What are you hoping to get from God in being here? What are you hoping to give God? Or do you just show up? What do you hope to accomplish through the Lord Jesus Christ in the next 6 months? Okay? These are big, important questions. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And sometimes I feel that we just get in the way. But the Lord knows, and he seeks every heart. He sees inside of our hearts, folks. The second reading for this morning comes from Hosea. But we're just going to read one verse, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, and it will come up on the screen. Okay, we can't go about blessing people for the sake of trying to bless our way into the kingdom. That's not the point. But it's a matter of honoring God in our hearts while fixing someone's toilet. Or going over and shingling Ian's house, which has to happen this year. We're looking for volunteers, by the way. There's my plug. Okay? Okay? Hosea, however, is an amazing book. He's prophetic in so many ways as he struggles with his own unfaithful wife. And it becomes a metaphor for the fact that God is continually trying to bring his unfaithful people back to himself. And this is kind of painful to say, but we, as people in this church, have sometimes been like an unfaithful wife. I have been like an unfaithful person in my own life with the Lord, giving myself to so many things that really don't honor God. And yet we try desperately not to do it, and sometimes we do it out of ignorance, and then we realize, my goodness, that totally didn't honor God. But Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says this, for I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. God looks deep into our hearts, and he sees your relationship with him. Think about this for a moment. Now, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, okay? I'm going to do something a little different. Don't fall asleep now, thank you. It won't be that long. If you could close your eyes for a moment and think of this, picture this. Right now, the King of the universe is looking into you. What does he see? Is your heart full of love? Love for God? Love for man? Or is it mixed up? Is it bitter? Is your heart so ready and full of love that it's ready to pour out to everyone around you? What does he see? How does it feel to realize that God, the King of the universe who created everything, wants to know you and love you in a personal way and wants you to know and love him personally too? Please open your eyes. When you slow down and you think of God in those terms, God looking deep within the chambers of your heart, you realize his love is so incredibly overwhelming. He calls the strangest of people. The gospel reading for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 9. But it's interesting because in Matthew chapter 8 and 9, there's all sorts of miracle after miracle after miracle that Jesus performs. And on into chapter 10, there's the calling of all these disciples. But then stuck right in the middle of all of this is the story about the calling of Matthew, the tax collector. Right in the middle. We're going to read for a moment here. Matthew chapter 9. You can turn there in your scriptures. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read through chapters 9, verse 9 to 13. When I think of this story, I think of me and how God looked at me and said, come, follow. Maybe you'll find some kindred relationship with Matthew in these verses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus was walking alone, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and he followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. Verse 11. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard this, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've come to call the righteous, not that. I did that the other day too when I was reading this. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. God is looking deep into our hearts this morning, and he is seeing us for exactly who we are. And sometimes I wrestle and think, oh, it must be only on those good days when I'm happy and joyful and giving praise to God that he loves me. No, he loves you. He loves you today. He loves you tomorrow. He loves the rest of the world, every person on the face of the earth, and wants to be in relationship with you. The rest of this story, Jesus goes on, he heals a woman who is ill, and he goes on to heal a man's daughter. But why does Jesus see to it that this story of just come follow me is stuck right in the middle of all this narrative of miracles? Why is this? Isn't this a little bit immaterial? Why would Jesus stick this here? Because Jesus wanted us to see that the calling, the conversion, the drawing of one person to Christ is a miracle in itself. It's a huge miracle. The drawing of one rich man to put away his material possessions and follow Jesus is a miracle worth putting in the narrative of miracles. Amen? This too was a genuine healing. It's accomplished by Jesus' words. All he said is this, follow me. That's all he said. How do you think Matthew felt when Jesus called him? Was he worried about his livelihood? Was he relieved to leave a job that only brought him all sorts of frustrations? Did he see this maybe as a big break in his life? Well, folks, I ask you the question, if you were Matthew, and if you were in his shoes, and Jesus looked at you right now and said, just come, follow me, would you follow him? Jesus is in the business of using tax collectors and ordinary people like you, like me, his mission team. And folks, you were there one day. You were the Matthew of this story, and Jesus called you. And thank you for following him, because God loves the relationship with you. And maybe you're here this morning, and you hear this, and you're thinking, you know what? I've been hearing that nudge to come follow God, but I haven't bothered to do it. Well, this is a great time for you to do that. Just give your life to him. Okay? And sometimes when we hear this message, we think, there's just so many things I'd have to reorder in my life. I'd have to do this and that and the next thing. No, just take a step. Follow him. The message is simple. The Lord has been a blessing to you. Go share that message, folks. How many of you feel that you can go share a message with someone else? Anyone? Can you share a message with somebody else and share some joy? Good. I ask that the Lord will bless you and keep you as you do that. And for the rest of you, I'm going to ask for boldness. And for those of you who are just starting out, I'm going to pray for you. Can we just pray together this morning? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for those this morning who, without hesitation, were able to stick up a hand just quickly and say, you know what? Yeah, I can be a blessing. I can share a message. Lord, bring people their way. Bring them in the path of others that they can be a blessing. And Lord, I pray for those people who haven't done that yet, who are just yes, we have the joy of the Lord in us, but we don't know how to let it out. We pray, Lord, for boldness. We pray for this mission team that's going. We pray for boldness for them as they share their faith. But God, I think my greatest concern this morning is for those who sit here this morning and feel, man, I'm just not there. I just haven't taken a step. I haven't really fallen in love with Jesus. And God, I pray for those brothers and sisters. I mean, you know who they are. You see into our hearts. God, I pray that your love would continually draw them. That, Lord, we just pray that they would submit their lives to you. Just take a break from trying to run things and just give their life to God. And so, Father, I just thank you for these friends and this fellowship. And thank you for the communion of the Holy Spirit as you fellowship with us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour, at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I